What's the score? Taylor, Taylor, what's the score? Taylor, what's the score? Taylor, Taylor, what's the score?
Hello, Gasheads, and welcome to this week's episode of Gascast. I'll be your host for this one, Nino, and joining me to discuss what was a mad and magical night at the Mem on Tuesday is Gascast regular Kaz May. Hello, Kaz.
Hello.
And the Sean Spence of Gascast, who delivers the goods whenever called upon, Nick Weeks. Evening, Weeksy.
Evening, mate. You all right?
Yeah, all good. Regular listeners of the pod will know that at this point we're usually serenaded into the pros and cons by the angelic pipes of Mr. Jack Newcombe. But we all know that things can get a little wild on this podcast at times, and they are about to right this second as we launch the Gascast rulebook straight out the window and go through our pros and pros from the game. So then, a few stats from the match to kick us off. Possession, 48-52 in favour of Oxford. Shots, 13-12 in favour of Rovers. Both teams had seven shots on target. And corners, bit of a mad one. Rovers had one corner and Oxford had 13. Oxford love a corner by the looks of things. So, Weeksy, we're going to come to you. Everyone's got two pros, obviously. Bit of a luxury after what was just a crazy game on Tuesday night. Weeksy, let's have pro number one from you.
Yeah, pro number one for me was a bit of game management from Joey Barton. I'm going to praise Joey. It was pretty clear that Anderson, kind of in the right back role, although it was quite fluid at times, whether he was a wing back or right back, he was struggling down that side, especially in the second half. And when Joey made a decision to bring Josh Grant on and put him in that position and put Anderson further forward. And I just think that was the start of us looking more solid and gave us a bit more of a platform to get forward and get a foothold in the game. And I think that helped us later on in extra time as well. And I think Josh Grant moved around the pitch and done one hell of a job. Obviously ended up scoring, setting up the fourth goal. So my first pro is the Grant substitution. Made us more solid and obviously helped us for the fourth goal.
Yeah, I think Grant's quite an interesting one so far this season, because obviously last year he wasn't particularly rated by the supporters, it's fair to say. And the start of this season has been quite stop-start for him. I think he's had a few niggly injuries and stuff, so he's not been in the team that much. But Kaz, I mean, since he's come back in the last few games, playing as a fullback / wingback, whatever you want to call it, in different systems, he just looks like a new player.
Yeah, a completely different player. And it's funny, really, because obviously Joey was saying in his interview that that he didn't look at Josh Grant as a left wing back. And then when he came in as a left wing back against, you have to remind me who played on Saturday.
Northampton.
Completely different player. I'll be honest, I didn't rate him at all last season. Didn't rate any of them at all last season. Maybe, you never know, like with these players, it could be a change up in the players that are playing with, because last season we were a shambles, which may have made Josh Grant look worse than he actually is. But he just seems to, really sort of grown into himself now and really seriously improved. And it's not just his talent on the pitch, but also his dedication as well. The way he went and made sure he won that ball, that last season he would let that fly past him and go out. But the way he brought that back for Sean Spence to score the winner on Tuesday was just incredible. And showed real determination and a bit of courage. And completely different player. And I'm starting to love him now.
Yeah, I think the first time we saw him play at wingback this season was the home game against Swindon, if I remember correctly. I think he played right wingback that day. I think Anderson was on the left. And obviously, we got absolutely passed off the pitch that day. And the pod we did after that, I remember sitting here and saying, basically, what the fuck is Joey doing, putting a defensive midfielder at right wingback? He didn't have a good game that day, to be fair, but then neither did any of the team. So he was probably a victim of that. But then when he played, I think he played left wing back on Saturday against Northampton, and then he played right and left on Tuesday against Oxford. Obviously at Northampton, or against Northampton, he scored and hit the post, and then he set up the winner on Tuesday. And I just think, especially when you're playing a back three with wing backs, I just think it's always a sign that that system's working well when you've got one wing back goes down the wing and crosses it in and the other one gets on the end of it, which is obviously what happened against Northampton. Anderson crossed it from the right and then Grant nodded it in at the back stick. And then it was the same combination on Tuesday for Grant to knock it back for Spence to hit the winner. So I think it's just a good sign that things are starting to click a bit. And, you know, if you're playing a back three, that's what you want. You need those wing backs getting high up the pitch, getting balls in. And if you've got one crossing for the other one, I think it's just, positive signs for that going forward. So, Kaz, let's come to you for your pro number one.
Yeah, so similar to Weeksy's one with Joey's game management and substitutions, but I'm going to say more the subs themselves. I don't know if Joey was thinking, well, the game's lost and let's just chuck some of the young'uns on and see how they do, or if it was tactical, but either way it worked. And yeah, full credit to Spence and Collins in particular. Jones did well as well, but Spence and Collins, the way that they took that game into their own hands almost and went and scored those goals. I mean, Collins has been crying out for a goal for so long. And I remember there was a point in the game where he had an opportunity similar to the goal that he scored, but he passed it. And I remember saying to Lucy next to me that that he's just hit that because he's got it in him and he should just give it a go. And then thankfully, the second time round where he got the opportunity, he did it and it went in. And he's got that skill. And hopefully now he'll go on a bit of a run of form now that he's found that confidence. Spence as well. I mean, I've said on this pod before about why is he not starting? Why is he not getting a game? Because when he scored the winner at Walsall, I thought that he might get a look in. But he knows where the back of the net is, and he gets himself in the right positions. And the way those two sort of took control of that game, being 3-1 down, I mean, it's not easy at all to go on and have to try and get an equaliser, let alone a winner. So yeah, it was amazing to see those two just take total control of that game and, you know, click with the team so well, considering they were substitutions. Yeah, proper super subs, and credit to Joey for those substitutions, whether it was intentional or not.
Yeah, so let's have a bit more Sean Spence chat whilst we're here then. Weeksy, obviously we saw the bloke come off the bench away at Walsall, barely on the pitch for, well, very long at all, grabbed a winner. Not really seen him much at all since then. I'm not sure he's come on in a league game for any time at all since that day. Then Oxford obviously was his kind of first reappearance back into the side. I mean, the bloke just knows where the net is, doesn't he? As Joey says, he's the best finisher at the club, he says in training. The guy's got goals in him.
Yeah, I think he's probably been a victim of Evan's success, if you like. I think they play in very similar positions. But I said to my old man on Tuesday night, how when Evans went further forward, I think Evans can play up top and I quite like him up there. And we may come on something like that later on. But I'm just thinking, Joey said that he's given him a problem for the starting 11, whether to play him. I think he's forcing his hand a little bit. And I'm thinking if he pushes Evans further forward, will that create a space for Spence to sit in there in that number 10 role, attacking midfielder? But I think he's got a... It's good that he scored the goals, but we haven't seen much of him actually playing football yet. I mean, he's been there to score the goals and, you know, tap them in. Particularly his first goal, his header, I thought was superb. And the second one wasn't exactly... When you watch it back, it wasn't a tap-in. It was a really hard technique. Yeah, I'd like to see more of him. And I think with Evans playing further forward, I think that's how Joey's going to get him in the side.
Yeah, I thought both his goals, I thought, were class. Like the first one, the cross from Anderson on that left wing is absolutely phenomenal. And it's just a thumping header from Spence right into the bottom corner. Keeper's got no chance. And the second one, I mean, it was just time seemed to stand still at the time. As Grant knocks that ball back to Spence, I think it was a blur and everyone was just like, go on. And you're just waiting for that ball to hit the net. But when you watch it back, as you say, it's actually it's a much harder finish than you first think, because the keeper's sprinting back across the goal, trying to get back in. There's a defender there. The ball's kind of bouncing up at him. It would be quite easy for him to have leant back and smashed that over the bar. You know, it's a huge moment. But the way he just controlled that finish, I thought was so good. And obviously, yeah, the winner just sparked unbelievable scenes at the Mem. There was bodies everywhere. My dad stacked it. my finger dislocated. It was just all going on. So Kaz, George Clements has asked whether that was the best Rovers limbs since Lee Brown.
And the cross comes in from the right-hand side. Grant's going to try to tack it. He's kept it in play! And it's in! Spencer's done it again! John Spence has put Rovers into
you know
the
what? It could be. It could be. I mean, it's a shame that it was such a low attendance. Was it 4.8 or something? Which is, I mean, it didn't feel like it. It was loud and yeah, there was a lot going on. But yeah, I mean, it probably is because it's been since 90 plus two, it's been horrendous, hasn't it? It's just been relegation battles and a relegation as well. And I just think, obviously, we had the COVID outbreak with no fans for a while. And yeah, to be honest, it's hard to say. I compared the game on Tuesday similar to when we went 2-0 down against Southend under Coughlin, and then we came back and won 4-2. That was pretty similar. But yeah, no, it was incredible. I mean, I wasn't even going to go. And it was only for us winning on Saturday, which convinced me to go on Tuesday. But yeah, no, it was great. And it's just the passion that's coming through from the squad now. And that's, if we're going to compare anything to the DC games, that's what I would compare, is the passion. You look at Belshaw sprinting the length of the pitch and the pylons and all the subs and the staff running over. It was very similar to Lee Brown, wasn't it? So yeah, I think that team spirit is starting to come through now. Which is fantastic. And yeah, no, the limbs were just sensational. Really good.
Yeah, so Weeksy, we've touched on this a little bit already, but Lucy Ford, Charlie Hayne and Jack Deacon have all asked whether you'd like to see Spence start against Tranmere or keep him as a super sub. And I guess kind of going along the lines of what you were saying, you know, we haven't really got an out-and-out striker at the moment, so we're kind of getting bits up there from like Evans, Nicholson, Thomas, and it's all quite fluid and everyone's interchanging a little bit. And Spence kind of fits that mould as well. You know, you kind of think that's the sort of player he is, but are you going to drop Evans at the moment? No. Thomas, we know what class he's got. You want to get him back up to full fitness. And the same with Nicholson, really, who I don't think is back at his peak since coming back into the side. I think he's been fairly quiet. I mean, he absolutely ran himself into the ground on Tuesday, but on the ball, I didn't think he was amazing. He obviously missed a very good chance in normal time to win the game. So do you think that Spence is going to have to settle for more time on the bench and getting the odd 10 minutes here and there? I mean, which would be an improvement on what he's had so far, let's face it, but...
Yeah, I think he's going to have to bide his time a little bit longer, I think. We just look so fluid going forward. You know, we were saying amongst ourselves on Tuesday that, you know, we haven't got a striker, but we're not struggling to score goals. So he's doing the job for us with what he's been doing. So, I mean, I did quite like it when Whelan was kind of playing a holding midfielder on his own. He seemed to have the space to do what he wanted to do. And I was thinking maybe get Spence in, maybe drop in Coots. But I think everyone knows I've not been a fan of Coots, to be fair. But the last two games, in all fairness to him, I don't know if he's getting fit again. He's looked a lot better. And I thought he'd done a great job on Tuesday night. So, yeah, I think Spencer's going to have to wait. I think he's going to have to wait for a couple more weeks. And if he does get him in, I think it'll be if Evans plays further forward.
Okay. So moving on to my first pro from the game then, which is, I mean, Kaz, you kind of touched on this, to be fair, but it's Collins, his sub for Nicholson on the 79th minute. I mean, just putting his goal to one side for a second, which we'll get onto in a minute, I just thought his all-round impact on the game was just superb. I mean, I thought he caused Oxford loads of problems every time he got the ball. He was quick, strong, he was holding it up, he was beating players with the ball. There was a couple of times, like the time you mentioned, where he passed up the opportunity to shoot. Then he obviously scored an absolute worldie. And then about 5 minutes after that, he had another one from outside the box, which he bent and it just went over the bar. But I just thought he was so involved in the game. And I mean, everyone's been desperate for him to get off the mark. I think me, you and Willett, I think when we were on it a couple of weeks back, kind of compared him to Tom Nichols in that he works so hard. He runs himself into the ground every game. And he seems like such a just nice, likable bloke. And you just want him to do well. And it just wasn't happening for him in front of goal. But yeah, he just works so hard for the team. And Kaz, just what a way for him to get off the mark for Rovers. It was just an unbelievable strike.
Weaves one way and then hits it left foot. Oh, what a goal! What a goal! He knee slides across to the far side. Terrific goal.
Yeah, I mean, mean, he had to take that chance because he's one of those players that the longer he goes without scoring, the harder it's going to be for him to actually get that goal. And that's sort of what happened with Tom Nichols. But yeah, it looked better on the replay than it did actually behind the goal. It was a lot further out than I thought. So yeah, full credit to him. He's done a fantastic job there. And I really hope that this is giving him the confidence to kick on now. Whether he'll start or not from this, I'm not sure. But again, he could be a super sub like Spence has been, and, you know, make that impact like he did on Tuesday. You know, if we're struggling or if we just need that extra fresh legs to come on. Full credit to him. I thought he was incredible for the time that he was on for.
Yeah, so Weeks, I mean, Collins is kind of the closest thing we have to a fit out and our striker in the squad at the moment, obviously with Pittman, Leon Clark and Saunders being injured. And we've got a question from Zulu Gas here, which says basically whether playing with no recognised striker is the way forward for Rovers after the Harrogate, Northampton and Oxford performances. Because I think, you know, pre-Pittman's injury, obviously he was playing and grabbing goals, but the team wasn't looking particularly good. You know, he was kind of grabbing goals out of nothing. You think back to that Bradford goal, unbelievable header, just a ridiculous header, but it's out of nothing, really. And he's got movement. He's a great finisher. He's going to grab goals at this level if he's fit. But, I mean, I think Willett got a bit of a battering for bringing up Ronaldo last time we chatted about Pittman. But I kind of see where he's coming from, because if you listen to any United fans talking about Ronaldo, you got those who say you have to play Ronaldo because he scores goals. And then those on the other side who say, yeah, but if you play Ronaldo, he doesn't press, he doesn't work hard for the team, and the whole team suffers as a bit of a result of him playing. And I kind of think we're in a similar situation to Pittman, where if you play him, you're pretty much guaranteed to get goals from him in League Two. But I'm not sure it particularly benefits the rest of the team having him up there. So what do you think is the way to go forward for us once we get him back?
I think like the others, he'll have to play his way back in, I think. And unfortunately for Pittman, I think he's going to be the type of player, he takes a while to get fit. But I think last five games, I've got my maths right, I think he scored 12 goals in the last five games. So we're not struggling. And it seems something has clicked. For me, I don't think he'd come straight back in. You know, he could be that experienced head that comes on when needed, when needing a goal, when maybe needing to change it up. What we're doing now is working. If we come unstuck in a game where it stops working or other teams work us out, we've now got that other option to play a different style and play with a nine up front. But at the minute, with this fluid, almost false nine that we're playing, it's working. So no need to change it, I would say, until we get found out.
Yeah, completely agree. So as we said, Collins obviously got his first for the Gas on Tuesday. And I did a bit of research earlier because I was thinking about just the number of different goal scorers we've had this season. It seemed like a lot to me. So I did a bit of looking into it. And as we sit in now, we are 22 games into the current season in all competitions. And we have had goals from one from Harries, three from Saunders, three from Finlay, three from Nicholson, one from Leon Clark, four from Pittman, one from Taylor, three from Spence, one from Anderson, three from Evans, one from Thomas, one from Kilgore, two from Anderton, one from Westbrook, one from Jones, and one from Grant, and one from Collins now. So that's 31 goals from 17 different goal scorers. And I did same research into last season. So as we were 22 games into last campaign, we'd had 30 goals, so one less goal, but only from 12 different scorers. So we've had five more players score goals for us at this stage so far this season. So I think it just kind of shows how, all right, we haven't got that one bloke. You know, everyone kind of says going into a season, if you're going to be successful, you need someone who's going to grab you 15 to 20 goals, say. Everyone's after that 20 goal a season man. And we clearly don't have that. Maybe we do in Pittman, but he can't stay fit for long enough. But what we do have is just everyone scoring goals. I mean, if you look at the starting 11 against Oxford, the only players who started that game who hadn't scored yet is Coutts and Belshaw, who's letting the team down a little bit there. But yeah, Coutts hasn't got a goal yet. But he was the only outfield player not to have scored so far this season. I just think it says a lot about how well this team is functioning. And, you know, if you haven't got one man who's scoring loads of goals, then what you need is loads of different players chipping in, and that's happening. So I think it's, if we can continue that, then happy days. So Weeksy, let's come back round to you and get your second pro.
Yeah, my second pro is just that general feeling of having our Rovers back in the last few weeks. It's that never say die fighting spirit. We go behind. And even when we go behind now, I'm not overly worried anymore. Where before last season, well, the last couple of seasons, we go behind, you think, oh, that's it. It's when we give up. And it's just nice to see. And it's nice to have that feeling again. Like I said, I took my little lad for, I think it was his first Tuesday night game this Tuesday. And it's been tough for him because he started watching at the breakup of the promotion team. So it's been awful for him. I'm surprised he's still going, to be honest with you. But it was just seeing his little face, and I mean, Kaz, I knew you saw his face at Walsall.
Yeah.
And it's that again. But that is so important, and that brings everybody along, everybody on that same journey, if you like. And I just like the way that we can play quite nice football at times, I think, but we can battle as well, and we can get stuck in, and we can mix it. And I'm not a Barton super fan, but I did think with him coming in, this was the type of football I thought we were going to play. I thought it was going to be, you know, high intensity, you know, good football, mix it when we have to. And I think that's the perfect, mix when you're going into a League Two season. On Saturday, it was down in the corner. I think it was Harry Anderson. It was a bit of a flare-up. But like 7 or 8 of our players went flying over there and got there first. And I love to see that in the team. That's what it's all about. So, for me, it's like just a... That feeling that we're getting Rovers back. There's still a long way to go, but it's nice nonetheless.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think I've kind of sensed that growing for me personally for probably the last 3 games or so, certainly Saturday against Northampton and then obviously Tuesday. I mean, to be honest, up until Northampton game, I was just feeling so flat about this season. I know I've chatted to a few people before about this, but just feeling so apathetic about it all. And Saturday against Northampton, just something seemed to click, something seemed to change. And I don't know what it was. I think maybe when Evans scored the goal to put us 2-1 up and he came in front of the Blackthorn end and he was fist pumping at the fans, it felt like for about 30 seconds. I'm sure it wasn't that long, but he was just stood there sort of roaring at the fans and there was a big pile on. And I think ever since then, and then that then built into Tuesday when obviously it just went bonkers, it just kind of feels like we're getting a bit of the sort of Daryl days back in terms of the bonds starting to form between the fans and the players, and also amongst the players themselves. You know, the way you've got people like Westbrook and I think it was Evans as well sprinting in, they've come off as subs. And when that third and fourth goal goes in, the fourth in particular, they just come sprinting in from the tunnel and just jumping on the other players in front of the Blackthorn end. I just thought, you know, that's what you want to see. That's the sort of thing that as a fan makes you think, all right, we've got team here who actually wants to be here and is fighting for us. And yeah, I just think it's been missing since the start of the season, but it's starting to click, you can see. So Kaz, Jake Barber has asked whether Tuesday night could be a season-changing result / performance.
100%. I mean, coming back from 3-1 down like that and going on and winning the game, that's got to give you so much confidence that you can do it. And like Weeksy said earlier, there's no more, oh, we've gone 1-0 down and we've lost. I don't get that feeling now. Like, you know, at the start of the season, you would have thought, oh, that's it, game's over. But now they know they can do it. There's no reason why they can't kick on and keep fighting to the very end every single game. There will be times where they will go 1-0 down that's unjustified. Like, I didn't think that Northampton deserved to go 1-0 up on Saturday with that penalty. They could have easily dropped their heads there. They didn't. And then again, we just got tore apart for about 2 minutes into the first few minutes of extra time. And that's it. Would be so easy to just give up on that game, but they didn't. And yeah, they know they can do it now. And not just the first team that went out to start in 11, but the subs as well. And they know that they could go on and they can battle and they've all got goals in them. Like you said earlier, they can all step up and score goals and do their bit for this team to get us back in it. So yeah, absolutely. I think now they know they can do it. There's no reason why that belief can't just continue to the next few games to the end of the season now.
Yeah, so Kaz, I was going to come to you for your pro number 2, but I realise this chat has kind of merged slightly into what you were going to say. Have you got anything that you'd like to add about your second pro?
Yeah, so it was resilience and the team spirit sort of tying together. Obviously, Weeksy said about the team spirit, and it's just like, it's great. They're obviously playing for each other. They care about each other. They want to win for each other. And it's evident on the pitch, but it's also not like, you know, it's not all friendly all the time, because I don't know how many people saw it with Belshaw, and he's so passionate between the sticks that if one of the defenders makes a mistake, so he will let them know about it, but it won't be enough to sort of mean that they won't still have that great relationship after that. So I can't remember what particularly happened, but I know it was Taylor's fault, because Belshaw runs, it was when he made the double save on Tuesday, and then he went over to Connor Taylor and he was screaming in his face, similar to Jacola with McCormick last season. You do need that leader on the pitch, and Belshaw's got a bit of that in him, but he's like that because he cares so much. And so when he did that to Taylor, obviously Taylor just took it on board. He walked off, and then Finley comes over, puts his arm around Taylor, and then he's sort of like, it's all right, we've got this. And you could just see it, and you could see that they're there for each other. And the celebrations just say it all, don't they? With Belshaw sprinting the length of the pitch and the pile on. A team spirit is so important. You don't have to be the best team in the league to do well. You've got to just have that click, and you've got to gel. And I'm really, like you said, starting to see it and getting a little hint of the DC days. So Barton has caused us a lot of issues at this club, but if he's managed to mould together this team that can play together and they have a good relationship with each other, then no matter what happens going forward with Joey Barton, hopefully he's left that in place now that we could just kick on the rest of the season with this team that are so determined and so passionate and are playing for us as fans, but also playing for the badge on that shirt. So, yeah, it's really great to see. And, yeah, that would be my pro, is the resilience when going one down to go on and win that game, and the team spirit as a whole at the club at the moment.
Yeah, I think what you said there about not needing to be the best team if you've got that kind of spirit is spot on, because we have got talented players undoubtedly, especially in attacking areas like Evans, Nicholson, Thomas, etc. But I actually, when I was thinking about the game earlier doing this script, I didn't think any of those front players had an amazing game. I mean, Evans got the assist for Finley. Nicholson and Thomas didn't do a hell of a lot. I mean, they worked hard, but it wasn't like our star players stepped up. It's just the fact that we don't know when we're beaten now. Like, we go behind, and as Weeksy said earlier, we don't go behind and you don't automatically think, oh, that's us gone. Like, earlier in the season, we weren't having a shot on target in some games, or we were having one shot on target, and we go to somewhere like Exeter and just get pumped within the first 20 minutes and it's game over. You sense that if we played them now, that wouldn't happen to us, because there's just a completely different mentality within this team. And yeah, we went 3-1 down. Obviously, those two quick goals at the start of extra time took all the energy out of the crowd. I mean, the mem just went completely flat. I think all of us fans in the stands thought, well, that's that gone. We're done. I think, Kaz, you were like, I might take off now. And obviously, some people did. Yeah, some people did and probably kicked themselves for the rest of the night. But we just don't know when we're beaten now. Like, we don't give up. And we had young players coming on like Ryan Jones, Martinez. And I definitely thought, oh, he's resting legs now for Saturday. He's kind of given up on the game a little bit. But those players weren't thinking that. They were coming on thinking, right, I'm going to come on and get us back in this game. And it was just absolutely amazing. Just, yeah. So, so good. Right, I'll move on to my pro then, which is Paul Coutts and Nick Anderton. So I thought there were lots of really good individual performances on Tuesday, including the likes of Belshaw and goal, who I was going to choose as my pro, but I think I did him a couple of weeks ago when we outed Willett as being a Belshaw, a Belshaw hater. But I mean, yeah, Belshaw I thought was superb once again. Every time he made another cracking save, I was giving a little cheeky glance at Willett because he stood behind me in the terrace. But no, there was another three or four just unbelievable saves from Belshaw on Tuesday night. And Stefan Horn on Twitter's also mentioned his sweeper keeper challenge on Snake on the halfway line when it looked like he was going to go through on goal, and Belshaw just appears from nowhere and makes the challenge and then plays the ball up the pitch. The bloke's just absolutely unreal. But no, anyway, back to, I've got a bit sidetracked there, gushing over Belshaw. I could go on all night, but yeah, back to Coutts and Anderton. The reason I've picked out these two in particular is because they've both come in for so much stick the start of this season, mostly from me, I'll be honest. Like, I've sat on it loads of times and said, Anderton, what is he good for? Nothing. Like, at the start of the season, he just looked so immobile, dodgy on the ball. Everyone who ran at him seemed to walk past him. And I just thought, what if we signed it? This bloke looks useless. But honestly, in the last two or three games, I think he looks unbelievable. Like, when he was picking up the ball on Tuesday, and I can't remember whose whose content it was I was watching. I think it was either Barber or Haynes. And one of them said that Anderton, when he gets the ball, he's faster than when he doesn't have it. Like, he was getting the ball and just running past three or four Oxford men every time. And sometimes I had to sort of do a double take and check it was him, because he's just waltzing past these players. And he didn't look like he had that in him at the start of the season. And obviously it was his unbelievable cross that set up Spence's header. He just looks like such a good player now. And Coutts, again, Weeks, you mentioned it earlier, like, Coutts had a really poor start to the season, but he's slowly growing into it. And I think Tuesday night was by far his best performance in a Rovers shirt. I just thought he really stepped up. He covered every blade of grass. He was just calm on the ball. I think when Whelan's not there, Coutts offers that as well. I think they are quite similar, but when Whelan wasn't there, you needed someone like Coutts there to be calm and composed and just sort of knit the midfield together with his experience. And I just thought he had a great game. So yeah, fair play to those two. I've slagged them both off massively loads of times, but they're proving that I know absolutely fuck all, because they have improved massively, and long may it continue. So we've also had a few questions from the likes of The Hask, Paul Tanner and Ben Carter on the Stans and Gorridge news that broke yesterday, and also one from Daniel Ball on where we all stand on Barton. But unfortunately, we're a little bit more tight for time than usual today, so I'm going to save those ones up for next week, and we've got a bit more time to get our teeth stuck into them. So before we finish this one, let's have a quick preview of Saturday's home game back at the Mem against Tranmere Rovers, who currently sit 2 places and 1 point above us in the table. So, Kaz, obviously we've already said that Tuesday night, the Mem was bouncing. Everyone connected to the club came away from the stadium feeling absolutely on top of the world. But I mean, to be a bit of a Debbie Downer, it can only be me feeling slightly concerned that after such a high, Tranmere could end up being a bit after the Lord Mayor's show and bring us all back down to earth with a bump.
You used up all of our goals, is that what you're saying?
Maybe
6 goals in 2 games. Can't believe it. No, I reckon we're going to keep going. We're going to keep going now. I just think, you know, Super Glenn's back. I think, is he? Super Glenn's back. But then again, I can't even tell you what the starting 11 is going to be. Can we just play them all? I didn't think. Ask me in like 2 months ago if I'd be saying that. I wouldn't have been like, I want to play them all, because I think they all deserve a start. They've all been brilliant. Yeah, I honestly don't know what team Joey's going to go for. But yeah, I think that we're going to go on a little bit of a run now. I'm confident, because, like I said, you'd have to be the best team in this league, but they want to win for each other now, and they obviously want to win for Joey. And yeah, I think we're going to win, and I think we're going to win 2-0.
That's right, 2-0 from Kaz. Right, Weeksy, first of all, before you give me your prediction, hit me with your starting 11.
Oh, put me on the spot there. My goodness. I'll go with Willett's favourite Belshaw in goal. Yeah. He's still going to get a stick for that. I think the biggest decision he's got to make is whether Whelan comes back in. So I'm looking at the starting 11 from Tuesday, and I think Luke Thomas could be in trouble. He looked a little bit leggy to me. Didn't look his normal self.
He was blaming his boots on Twitter. You see that?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I saw that.
No one's buying that one, Luke. Yeah.
No, sorry, mate. Love him, but not sure. He didn't really look fit to me, so I don't know what's that. I think it was his toe or something he's got troubles with. But he didn't look overly fit to me. So I think the same starting numbers are Belshaw, Anderson, Taylor, Harries and Anderton. And then I think he'll probably play Whelan, Finley and Coutts, Evans and Nicholson. But then Westbrook started. Westbrook's definitely not going to start, is he? So
you don't think Grant comes back in from the start?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so Grant replaced
Westbrook. I'm sorry. How hard is this, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't this really hard?
I got the team written down. I thought, oh, no. So, yeah, Westbrook's nowhere near it for me. So, yeah, we Grant for Westbrook. And then I think Whelan will probably come in for Thomas. Finley will play more advanced.
Also, I'm not saying I'd start him. I'm going a little bit off on a tangent here. I'm not saying I'd start him, but I thought Ryan Jones, when he came on, was so good.
Yeah, he looks bright. He looks good,
doesn't he? The kid, yeah. How old is he? Like 17, 18 or something? He's not played for us in League Two. Obviously, we were playing against a very good League One side. He came on at a time in the game where we were 3-1 down at the time. The game was like a bit hectic, end-to-end. It's a difficult game to come into off the bench and make an impact. I just thought he was so good. Yeah. I mean, Weeksy, looks like we got a player on our hands in him, doesn't it? I'd happily see him in the league.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Without a shadow of a doubt, he could play where like Luke Thomas plays off the right, cut in with his left foot. Very similar sort of player, but he's rapid, sort of low centre of gravity, and he could cause teams loads of problems.
Joey's got a dilemma on his hands here.
Massively. I'm thinking Martinez. Martinez looked brilliant when he come on. A young one, but...
We've got to start in 18.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully Tranmere won't notice.
When did that happen?
Yeah, oops. So, Weeksy, I don't think we've had your prediction yet. Hit me.
Well, we are Bristol Rovers, so we will more than likely go 1-0 down and kill the atmosphere in 5 minutes. I'm hoping it's bouncing, but I can see us. I'm going to go for a 3-1 win.
Ooh. 3-1 win. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Who's your goal scorers?
I think Nicholson is due one, and I think he'll get one. Evans and Coots from miles out. I think I've got a feeling he's gonna. There's a few times it drops on the edge of the box. Like, hit it. I'll say that. I think he'll get one. Why not?
That'll be 9 goals in a week with no striker.
It's happening.
We're getting cocky now, aren't we?
Yeah, massively.
Yeah. HMS Pistol League is back in action, baby. We're back. So, far too much positivity on this podcast. So, yeah. I'm going for a 2-1 defeat.
Bring us back.
There we go.
So, that's all we've got time for in this one. A bit of a shorter one today, but hopefully you enjoyed it all the same. Many thanks for all the questions sent in. And as I said earlier, we'll tackle a few of those next week when we have a bit more time to really get stuck into them. But for now, take care, everyone. Fuck the snake and up the gas.
Up the gas.
Up the gas.
Hi, everyone. So one thing I forgot to mention during the pod is this absolute beauty we got sent in by the Hask. So he tweeted us to say, can we further appreciate Belshaw in song? Brackets, Si Senor. So for those of you who know, Si Senor is a song sung by Liverpool fans about Bobby Firmino. But yeah, the Hask on Twitter has put together this tune for our very own Mr. James Belshaw. There's something that the Gas want you to know. Best in the world, he plays inside our goal. Our number one, sweeping up and saving shots for fun. James Belshaw, nothing like you've ever seen before. There's something that the Gas want you to know. Best in the world.